For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For the battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And turn over to Psalms 96. Just back a few verses, chapters. Psalms 96. Psalms chapter 96, we're going to look at verse 1. Bible says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day." It's kind of a little bit what we talked about in the adult Sunday school class. "Declaring his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Our majesty are before him, and strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindred of people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the world wood rejoice. Before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth." And I'm going to ask you to turn all the way over to the book of Titus. It's in the New Testament, toward the end of the New Testament. It's after 2 Timothy. Titus chapter 2. Titus, right between Philemon, 2 Timothy and Philemon. If you have a Schofield, it's 1284, page 1284. Titus chapter 2, we're going to look in verse 11. Bible says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of God, zealous of good works." Verse 15, it says, "These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." And then the last place I'm going to have you turn is Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We'll look at verse 1, Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Bible says, Luke chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was in of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you: ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, and the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Dear Heavenly Father God, we come to you again this morning. We ask that this time would be a time that we may be able to benefit from your word. You promised that your word would not return void. Heavenly Father, we ask that we'd be able to walk away today, having come a little closer to you. And Lord, that we may be able to look at this new year, 2008, Lord, with a bit of a different perspective. And Lord, that we can maybe live a little bit more for you than we did in 07. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Read several scriptures, and I'm going to go ahead and use this red one here. Read several scriptures all throughout the Bible speaking about Christ. We looked in Isaiah, and then we looked in Titus, and we looked in Psalms, and we looked in Luke, and all of these different scriptures were different perspectives of the birth of Christ. And we see here the most well-known one in Luke chapter 2, where we see the description of the actual events of the birth of Christ, when him and Joseph, when Mary and Joseph and Jesus went into Bethlehem and for the taxation, and then the traveling to the inn, and there was no room, and then going to the stable with the manger, and then the message being brought to the shepherds, and the shepherds hastily hurrying to the manger, and we have that Christmas story taking place. But hey, Christmas is over, right? December 25th. It's finished. That was what? Tuesday? Wasn't it Tuesday? Tuesday. Who said Wednesday? Wasn't Wednesday. Your kids are off of school. You turn your brain off when there's no school. Some of you forget to turn it on when they score. it's Tuesday. It's over with. December 25th. You know, I was shocked. I went out Christmas morning. Well, it was Christmas morning. We're outside. It was about 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning. And I was bringing my dog out, let him run around. And walked out to the sidewalk, and I was just, you know, enjoying the morning. I looked over, and I saw my neighbor, and peculiar sight, there was a Christmas tree sitting out on the sidewalk. And I thought to myself, I said, you know, that is exactly the way our society looks at Christmas. The perfect example. You have a time, starts around September, shortly after the school time begins. And they start contemplating, you start to see the stores starting to put up Christmas decorations, and you see they start to introduce hints of Christmas music being played. And then once September hits, and about mid-October, Christmas, the season starts. And and all through that time, there's, you know, building more and more decorations, and pretty soon you have on the radios, they're playing Christmas music all the time, and everybody's the neighbor who wanted nothing to do with you and could care less about you, and all of a sudden your best friend, he's smiling, and Merry Christmas, oh, Happy New Year, how's everything going? And people's attitudes start to change, and people are driving down the road, and you got your blinker to turn right, and somebody stops and lets you go across the lane and go into where you're going, and they wave and they smile, and you go into stores and people are, oh, Merry Christmas, how's things going, Happy New Year, and smiles and happiness, and it seems like the whole America changes for the month of late October and November and December. And we find here that stores begin gearing up, and you start to see more advertisement of sales and always special Christmas sale, and then comes Thanksgiving, and then there's that famous day, which I'm sure nobody here participated in. It's a Friday after Thanksgiving, and people usually get up at like 3 a.m. in the morning to go stand in line outside of the door and peering in through the windows and to see, wait until the doors open so you can get a tie that was normally $26 for $5, and then it builds to a consumer frenzy, and you get closer and closer to Christmas, and the stores just become unnavigable. You can't, you almost need like a shovel to dig your way through the people. It's just so crowded, and it's just built off to a frenzy till the night of December 24th. And then about 6 o'clock, the stores close. And there's nobody there the next day. And you know, I find that's about just the way our society looks at Christmas. Is there's a time for it to begin, and there's a time for it to end. Yeah, my neighbor, going to be anonymous, sure they decorated the tree. And they went down to the Christmas tree dealership and picked out a Christmas tree and set it up, and they decorated it and got out all, dusted off all their decorations and pulled them out of boxes and spent hours untangling the lights and the wire and got it all ready and beautified it and put the little star or whatever on the top, and they're in the spirit. But as soon as that day hit, oh, shut the light off, unplug the tree, pull down the glass balls, put away the decorations because Christmas is over. And I was out, 11 o'clock, about 10:30, 11 o'clock, December 25th. There was a half needleless tree sitting out on the sidewalk, ready for the garbage man to take away. It makes sense in our culture. Starts, goes to climax, and we just pack it up and forget about it. You know, well, it's not the first time that I've preached an anti-society message this morning. But, folks, I'm here to say Christmas isn't over yet. Christmas isn't over yet. We tell a little bit of a different story than society, folks. We believe a little bit of a different view of Christmas. We look at Christmas in maybe a different way. It's not all just about getting the deals and giving the most and getting the most. But folks, we look at Christmas in a different sense. Sure, when I was a kid, I believed in old Saint Nick. None of you did though, right? No, you never believed. Yeah, we still believe in old Saint Nick, right? Close your ears, kids. That's a joke. You know, it's funny. You think about jolly old Saint Nick. The good get the gifts. The bad get nothing. That's all fine and good, and it probably worked on me quite a bit when I was a kid. I'd get I had an extra good December. I was extra good. Sounds familiar though when you think about to do with God, heaven, doing good to get good, doing bad to get bad. Earning God's goodness. Earning God's blessing. Earning God's love. Earning God's care. I'm so thankful we preach a different message. Folks, because when I think about my life, I'm probably full of coal. Well, coal's worth a lot nowadays, right? Our story, yes, is about a gift, but it's about a different type of a gift. A gift of redemption to the world. A gift of praise and adoration to God, our Creator. A gift of access to heaven. A gift of freedom from sin, the penalty. God's gift to us. But I'm so thankful, folks, that that gift doesn't end there on December 25th. It's not over yet. It's not completed yet. If you're in the Bibles, go ahead and turn over to Matthew. Beginning of Matthew. Matthew chapter 2. We have another little bit different of a perspective of this time when Christ was being born. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." Notice we didn't hear anything about that in the book of Luke. "Saying, where is he that is born, King of the Jews? For we have seen the star in the east, and we are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. They said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art thou the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." And Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you found him, bring me a word again that I may come and worship him also." Verse 9 says, "And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Verse 10 it says, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Verse 11 it says, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. Wait a minute. I thought he was in a stable. I thought he was in a manger. Where are the animals? Where are the pigs and the goats and the chickens? Where's the hay? Verse 11 says, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, myrrh, and frankincense. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And says, verse 12 says, and being warned of God in a dream, they should not return to Herod, and they departed their way out of the country another way. Folks, talked about last week, that song, 12 Days of Christmas. You realize at this point, back when Christ was born, the wise men hadn't even come and seen him yet? A lot of times we think, wow, I thought they came and they got that picture of the wise men visiting the manger and the stable with the feed box and the hay and the chickens and the goats and the pigs and what happened to that? They didn't come at the same time as the shepherds. They came later on. It's believed that they came about 12 days later. 12 days. You know, I don't know if anybody here thought, well, what's he preaching about Christmas for? Christmas is over with. Christmas is past. Maybe he's got his sermons mixed up, and maybe he's behind. What's going on here? Well, folks, Christmas hasn't even been completed by that aspect of the wise men coming in. They're not going to come and see Jesus till about January 5th or 6th. Folks, the point I'm trying to make to you today, don't go along with how society looks at Christmas. It's hard. Why? We live in society. We live in this world. We hear the radio and we see the TV and we have friends that we talk to and we've been surrounded by it since birth. But folks, I want to say to you today, it's not over yet. Christmas isn't even over yet. They haven't even fled and left the country yet. They haven't even fled to Egypt yet. They're still there. Christmas isn't over yet. The wise men haven't even visited them yet. Truth of the matter is, if you really want to think about it, Christmas really began on March 25th. Don't tell Walmart that. Don't tell Macy's and don't tell those stores, because they'll put the decorations out on March 25th. They'll start the sales on March 25th. But folks, you think about Christmas really began on March 25th, and it went 9 months. Slogging along. My wife just had a baby this year. Time went by quick. I remember back at all the different stages of my wife and pregnancy and all the different little things that go along with it. And I'm looking at it from the outside. But I could very visibly see it. And I can imagine you guys that have, your wives have been pregnant before, and you kind of suffer a little bit as much as you can along with them and try to help them and try to comfort them and relate to them. But you, truth matters, you can't. You try your best. But I think as Mary carried that child and through all the sickness and discomfort and all the things that go along with it, she maybe looked ahead and knew Christmas was coming. She looked ahead and knew and saw what was really this was all about. The truth of the matter is, when you read the story, and you look in Luke chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 2, Mary, even at that, didn't quite understand what it was all about. This is Jesus' mother. And we read in Luke chapter 2, the Bible says that she pondered these things and kept them in her heart. She didn't quite understand what was going on. She didn't quite understand why these shepherds came and worshiped Christ. She didn't quite understand why these wise men bestowed this great wealth upon her. And she was carrying the Son of God. Joseph didn't quite understand, but they trusted God. And in their trust and in their faith, 12 days later, on January 6th, came these wise men. Came these rich rulers from the east with their grand caravans and their luxury and probably of their day, their limousines and their Cadillacs and their entourages of their day, with total all the pomp and circumstance, coming in with the best of the best to see lowly Jesus and Joseph and Mary and to kneel before them and present their gifts of love and adoration to them. 12 days later, these wise men saw their second chance. 12 days later, they saw that they had been given a second chance. It was Christ. 12 days later, they were able to see what true love was. They will see this Savior come down from heaven, being born, what true love is. 12 days later, to see how truly undeserved we are as humans to have a Savior. 12 days later, to comprehend that we can do nothing to earn this love. 12 days later, to see God's unconditional compassion. 12 days later, to see this good news of great joy they had heard about. 12 days later, to understand what it is like to worship God. 12 days later, to experience the joy of our redemption. 12 days later, to spread the word of God, and to spread His good tidings and His comfort and joy. 12 days later, to sing praise to our Lord. And finally, 12 days later, to realize that we are capable of giving and receiving the one gift that Christ gave to us. That's love. You're getting mushy. I'm not supposed to show that. Christ did. God did. He wasn't afraid to tell somebody that he cared about him. He wasn't afraid to tell somebody, hey, I feel for you. I'm not afraid to be caring about your situation. Christ was willing to show that to us. Can you imagine, folks? Can you imagine going and it being prophesied that Jesus Christ was going to be born and going and seeing this baby born and knowing that that is the Son of God? What an amazing thing to experience. Folks, so I say on this Sunday after Christmas, remember the wise men have not even arrived yet. Folks, and Christmas still is alive and well. It's not over yet for us Christians. You know, I say it often that we have a different perspective of Christmas. Why? Because we think about it almost every week. Think about it 52 weeks a year. We think about the birth of Christ. We think about the death of Christ. We think about the life of Christ. We ponder our salvation. We think about the things of God. And so maybe in an aspect that's a little hard for us to understand, well, no, Christmas doesn't end. Yeah, we pack up our tree and we pack up our decorations. But no, I'm very conscious about the things of God. Well, folks, I urge you today, we talked a little bit about this about Sunday school, don't just be conscious about the things of God. Why does it have to only be different during the Christmas time that the world celebrates? Why do people only have to be joyful and happy and gracious to others only during the Christmas time? Okay, we can only turn our joy on between late September and December 24th. After that, I'm not giving any of that up. I'm saving it. Why does it have to end there? We can have that on throughout the whole rest of the year. And I think, folks, that's probably why the world calls Christians a peculiar people. What are you so happy about? What are you so glad about? Why are you smiling? If you only knew, dear sir, the love that I know for my God and the redemption that I have for my salvation, I got plenty to be happy about today. Folks, I say to you today, Christmas may be over in the world's eyes, but it ain't over in mine. It ain't over in mine. Heavenly Father, let's stand with our head bowed and our eyes closed. Dear Heavenly Father, God, Lord, I thank you for these folks coming out today. Lord, I thank you for the privilege to be able to have a time to be able to celebrate your birthday, your birth. Have a time to be able to contemplate all the different circumstances that came together, all the thousands of years of prophecy that came together, Lord, just so we can have a second chance. Just so we can have freedom from our penalty of sin. If you're here today with our head bowed and our eyes closed, you may know